How is it in your soul this today? You feel hopeful or, oh boy, here comes another year? What is it like for you to be in your skin and in your life? Yesterday, recently read about somebody complaining that their neighbor in New York had put a cat litter box and cat food out on their third floor fire escape in a large apartment building in New York. That person was a cat lover and felt that they were doing a good thing. And a lot of cats were attracted to the food. And the person writing this lived next door. There were feral cats fighting and mating and having babies in their yard. And it was very fragrant in her yard. And the person who put out the cat food and litter box believed in their heart that they were lovers of God's creation. They went to bed and woke up in the morning happy that they were fulfilling God's purposes for them. This morning, we meet people who are quite sure that they are fulfilling God's purposes in their lives. And in the case of the scripture we read, I agree with them. Obviously, it's a scripture, I have to agree with it. But in our lives, so much of what we think we are doing for God's creation, for the world, helping out society, there's another way to look at it. And I think that as human beings, we're all ridiculous. If you look at it a certain way, we're just ridiculous, each of us. But that's not an insult. That's what it means to be a human being. God did not create us as angels flying around in purity and joy. He created us very messy. The whole process of eating, digesting, and what happens later, marital unity, I mean, there are just things that God just created a world which is very complicated. This morning, the main thing that I want to say to you, so you can all go to sleep after this is the main thing, is God has a purpose for your life, but don't get too invested and rigid about it all, because somebody else looking at you is going to think that it's a little bit silly. But don't live your life trying to make sure that nobody else thinks you're silly. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't worry about it. Everybody's silly. We get all caught up and we think we're doing saving the cats or what it is. God's purposes for you include a messy life. You are never going to be a person that everyone praises. Do you understand that? No matter, these people like, oh, this person is all that. And then there's always the people that say, well, you know, he doesn't polish his shoes. It just makes me sick to my stomach to look at his shoes. Somebody else will say, I saw him in the supermarket and he never spoke to me. Well, maybe he's blind, maybe he was trying to figure out how many potatoes he needed, but just get it in your heart. Everybody is not going to be just so pleased with you, praise you to the skies. In fact, if they do, you know, you guys make me kind of nervous because you guys are all kind of flattery. Oh, thank you so much, Mary, you know. And, you know, people are just ridiculous, and so I know that there's a lot of things going on that in your heart you'd like to say something to me, but I'd like to be in a group of people where they would like talk to you about those things. You know, everybody's all flattery, thank you so much. Don't try to live a life where nobody's going to criticize you. You're going to be dead if that's the case. There's always somebody that says, yeah, but, you know, then that's just how we live. Okay. Some people say, why do you talk that way? You don't want to air our dirty linen in public. Why do you say that I beat you when you were little? You should keep that. That's not the thing to say in public. Well, I don't know. That's just not the way I think. I think it is what it is, you know? People are going to praise you and like you for a lot of things, and God's purposes will stand for you. But I guess what I'm saying here is God's purposes for you do not include you becoming an angel of God who everyone loves and adores. Do you understand that? It's God's purposes for you are going to just, you're just going to be ridiculous, and you're going to do the best you can, and you're going to love people. People are going to love you, and God's purposes are going to go right through that. So that's the main thing, because unfortunately, I can never like read a Bible story and just say, oh, praise God, you know? That's somebody else going to do that for you. Let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we meet Mary and Joseph. They did not understand, even though they had had angels revealed to them. Both of them had had dreams and visions and angels. They still didn't understand. Jesus was still a baby. And Simeon and Anna, they understood a lot, but not everything. Lord, I pray for the people who are here that the Holy Spirit would speak to them and let them be comfortable in their own skins. Help them to understand that your purposes for them are good, but not better than anybody else's. And that you would fulfill your purpose in this holy place. And I just pray that you would help us as we finish out this year just to accept our place in the universe, in Jesus' name. Now, Mary and Joseph are a young family, and they're just starting out. And Simeon and Anna are near the end of their lives on earth. Now, God's purposes for individuals and for his people and for the world are sort of like these, you know, like seeing the Grand Canyon and seeing the layers. I mean, there's just huge forces of water and time and wind and all the rocks that disintegrate at different rates and whatever it is. God's purposes are like the Grand Canyon, just woo, sweeping kinds of things. But his eternal purposes work out through earthly time. Someone recently said to me, "Is my parents they live in a non-Christian country. I mean, we live in a non-Christian country, but they live in a country where there are not very many Christians." And she said, "My parents are waiting that God will take them home." But they're my age, you know. Oh, you know how young I am. They're not like really old, bedridden people. God's purposes work out through earthly time, so that he wanted it to be that way. If he had wanted you to live floating around like angel spirits, he would have created us. I mean, He doesn't like, oh, wow, I wish I'd made them just spirits. This is really too messy. He gave us bodies, and he put us in time and space. And because of that, God's purposes for you are not going to be, even though he's doing the Grand Canyon thing, you're just going to be one of those layers. But that's just the way it is. Don't think bigger or smaller than who you actually are. And so here's Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna at the opposite ends of life. I do want to say a few words about the purification for Mary. Many cultures have purification for women who come out of childbirth. And, you know, honestly, all of this stuff about women being unclean and all this, I cannot understand it. So I will just say this, that it is a blessing after childbirth to have some time to yourself. So there may be some meaning that you're unclean, you can't do the dishes, whatever, don't touch that. There may be some meaning there to give women a break and just sort of, because you just got to get used to things. Although my husband's ideal, that he was very shocked, he said you should give birth and go back to the field, which I was not able to do. Apparently that's the ideal in Bolivia. But I was not able to do that. But this time of uncleanness, I do not understand. But there is a sacredness to blood that maybe there's something in that. But we just accept it. There's this time of uncleanness, and it's longer in the birth of a daughter rather than the birth of a son. Again, I do not understand this. But Mary was going to the temple to be purified after her time of uncleanness. And Jesus, it does not say circumcision, but he was circumcised on the eighth day, in other words, 1 week later, after he was born, and he is presented to the Lord. Once again, we're faced with, it's the firstborn, not the second or third or fourth, huh? It's the firstborn male, not the female. It's the firstborn male Israelite. Oh, and so I think, oh, well, how about the rest of us that aren't firstborn male Israelites? There's enough in the Bible to know that God creates each person. If you're born, hello, God created you, and that he receives you from your mother's womb, even if nobody else is there, that he's happy to have you and he wanted you alive. So this is something to do with society, something to do with societal structures, something that God knows that I do not know. There is also here that we need to mention a blood sacrifice of lambs or doves or pigeons. And the shedding of mammal blood, the shedding of all blood is something that many of us are sort of uncomfortable with, and we're like, is this really necessary? Instead of thinking that the life of the animal is just, oh, just kill all these animals. No. We need to see it that the life of an animal is so precious that this sacrifice means that human life is super, super valuable. We don't treat the animals lightly, but that's how valuable human life is. So that's the way that I need to see that. And we also see that Mary was not wealthy. She didn't have the money to do the lamb, so she had to do the birds. So she was coming as a person who was not wealthy. Simeon is not explicitly called old, but it's sort of implied because he says he's waiting for the redemption of Israel, and the Holy Spirit dwells in him in a similar way to Christian believers after Pentecost. He is told by the Holy Spirit that he will see the Messiah. He is told by the Holy Spirit that he is to go to the temple just now. Okay, today, this morning, you go. He is told by the Holy Spirit that all hidden thoughts will be opened up in the presence of Christ the Messiah. And he is satisfied with his life after meeting Christ. And, you know, we were talking about the purpose that you have. What is it that you believe the Holy Spirit has told to you? What would make you satisfied? Yes, I understand. I'm ready to go now. When you're old, and some of us will be taken when we're younger, we don't know. What would satisfy you? Don't neglect that dream, that vision, that Holy Spirit word that you have in your heart. Oh, well, I could never do that, or no, that will never happen. No. Take that very seriously. Take that very seriously so that you will be satisfied with the messy life that God has given you. And Anna is clearly described as being old. Luke often brings in a man and a woman. If he has a man who's in trouble, he brings a woman who's in trouble. A woman has faith, a man has faith. So he balances the picture of God's work, and she is also led to wait, see, and praise for the Messiah. Now, today is the time for us. Mary and Joseph passed Anna and Simeon in the temple, but today we're passing each other here in this sacred place. In this time, in the end of the year and at the beginning of a new year, God's purposes are working in you. Our private walk with God, the global and grand cosmic purposes are all working for God. We can expect troubles, as Mary and Joseph did, and we can expect peace within those troubles. May this be a very blessed time as you welcome the new year. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.